You know, Melanie, indeed, it is going to be everything new as we step forward into, this activity of spirit we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. We've been exploring this amazing book by Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, and this is one of her other books, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. And so we've been doing a series on that, and this is the final part of this series on her book. So today we're going to be looking at From Divine Ideas to Life-Changing Results. Doesn't that sound awesome? You know, it's like, how many of you, as soon as you heard life-changing results, went kind of, yeah, how do we do that? I don't know. Are we, yeah. Come on, how many? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, life-changing results sounds like really big and magnificent, doesn't it? It's like, but it's because of the ideas and the boundaries within which we hold our lives and the fears that come with playing large, playing creatively, playing outside the box. So we've been defining over the last couple of weeks, like, what is creativity? And I know we've gone over this a few times, but I'm going to read this quote again from Elizabeth Gilbert. The question is, what is creativity? And she said, it's the relationship between a human being and the mysteries of inspiration. So, see, friends, that doesn't exclude anyone. And when we think about being creative, we've talked about this. It's like, what are our ideas? You know, Is creativity just about music or arts? Is creativity about math? Is creativity about sports? There's some amazing people in sports out there who are brilliant and creative and geniuses. And when we stop to think about, you know, sometimes we think creative is kind of airy-fairy out there, you know, don't we? Come on, sometimes, yeah. Because what happens is when we hear creativity or imagination, there is a part of us mostly, especially in the Western world, who have been taught to color within the lines, who have been taught organization and that things have to go a certain way. And we have not been encouraged to play, to explore, to be curious, and to understand that creativity comes in so many forms. There's so many geniuses out there. There's, how many are sitting here in this room today? Yeah. Kenny raised his hand first because he's got it. He knows. See, we all are. And when we stop to think about what does it mean to be creative, what does it mean to move a little outside the box? I love some research I was doing on creative people. How many of you have been in my office and have seen my desk? Okay. Well, I didn't discover this in time to put up the picture of Einstein's desk. How many of you have seen the picture of Einstein's desk? Hoya! Absolutely, friend. So as I was researching and looking at so many of these creative people, like Steve Jobs, I can't even remember all the names, and I'm looking at all these pictures of these desks that look just like mine. So for those of you who haven't seen it, I have stuff all over. You know, one day Lori, our past board president, was here to do some work on something else, and she says, oh, well, while Judy and I are here, we'd like to take the list of names and put the labels on. And I says, okay, go into my office, stand behind my desk, look over. I still remember where it was. I said, look over to the left, and that folder right there, it's got everything in it that you need. Now, can I do that all the time? No. However, for me, and what is being said is, I'm not messy, I'm creative. And they are doing more and more research on an understanding that the people who do not necessarily have everything in order and put away on their desk, that there is this openness that invites you to step outside the box. Now, does that mean if you have a neat desk that you're outside the realm of creativity. No. It just means that's your creativity. That works for you. See, what I'm wanting us to get to in an understanding is we have so many judgments about what it might mean to be creative, about what it looks like. And our society, the way we've been brought up, our schooling, everything has put us into certain boxes around that. And what I'm saying is, you know, creativity is big magic. That's what Elizabeth Gilbert is talking about. It takes us into a whole nother realm. And it invites us into allowing magnificent stuff to happen. Now, does magnificent stuff need to be huge and major out there in the world? No. See, sometimes just one little tiny thing, a shift or a moment. I was playing, my cat has this toy that he's just had forever, and I've had replaced it. I'm not sure he knew, but you know, it's this little clear acrylic stick, and it has this long, thin, rainbow colored piece of felt on it. And he thinks that's his little snakey. I don't know. He will take that in his mouth and he will drag it everywhere over to the food dish because that's his little food thing he's caught. And he'll chew on it and he'll leap for it. So when I play with him, it takes me to another realm. Because it gets me outside of the way my brain normally thinks, and it allows me to be engaged in a place of imagination that's inspired. See, it allows me to take common everyday situations and circumstances that I don't even realize are sort of maybe weighing on my shoulders. Maybe we just had a fight with a relationship with somebody important in our life, or maybe with a coworker, or maybe we're stumped because at work we can't figure out how to do some certain thing. And when we allow ourselves to step outside of how we have always viewed things, it enables us through play, through openness, through being receptive to access what we call divine ideas. See, and this is what we talked about last week. We talked about imagination and letting it flow. And the important thing is to be willing to access divine ideas. Well, so in Unity, when we talk about divine ideas, we're talking about the mind of God. That sounds pretty big, doesn't it? So what do we mean when we say the mind of God? Because we are so used to thinking of God as some super being that is outside of us that we fail oftentimes to recognize when we're talking about the mind of God, the heart mind of God. We are talking about the energy of creation. It's not a super being or a person. It is the energy of everything that is. The mind of God is inspiration. The mind of God is infinite. It is limitless. And if we're willing to be open and receptive to that, we begin laying hold of what we call divine ideas. And we understand that instead of asking God to do something for us, we realize it's ours to do. That mind or that inspiration or that creativity of God, Godness, God essence is within us. And we're not looking to something else to do that. We are looking to be that inspiration, drawing it forth and putting it into creative expression. From scripture, Mark 4:23-24, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said that to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. See, friends, as we begin to practice a willingness to play with our cats or our dogs or go out in nature or in whatever way, because we all play differently, we begin to listen differently. We begin to access the divine mind that is the presence of God within us, not somewhere outside of us. And as we begin to access that divine mind, the sky and beyond, we used to say the sky's the limit. Now we know space is the limit and we can't even measure that. So if we are to begin creating lives with game-changing results, it's about beginning to access those divine ideas and understanding that we are not limited by past belief systems. And that as we begin to have these ideas, we can be inspired beyond belief. So Charles Fillmore, one of our founders, in his book, Atom Smashing Power of Mind, says, man's resource is the infinite, and he draws his substance from an inexhaustible store. In other words, the energy of all creation, which is God. At the heart center of everyone is the seed, which is the word of God. And the word is the breath. The word is the essence. The word is divine ideas. It is there as a door opening into the infinite. Man opens or closes this door at his will. Some open it just a little crack and others not at all. Some open the door wide and they manifest such rare powers. Let not the seed of God within you lie fallow for want of conscious recognition on your part. You want to express all the possibilities of being, which you can do if you will acknowledge the source through which they come. So Fillmore is reminding us that what we first do is we open our mind. We allow the flow of imagination. That's what we talked about last week. But then, what's next? How do we move into game-changing results? It's about taking hold of the ideas and allowing that intent to propel us forward. From Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear, she says, it begins when you declare your intent. Stand up tall and say it aloud, whatever it is. It's not about judging. Is it big? Is it small? Is it compared to what somebody else does? Has someone done it before me? It doesn't even matter. Because it's about our own divine expression. No one's ever done it like you will do it. So it's an understanding of declaring our intent. Hearing this announcement, your soul will mobilize ecstatically. Because this is what your soul was born for. But you must be the one to start that conversation, like Charles Fillmore said. We need to open the door. And then you must feel entitled to stay in that conversation. So she goes on to say, so here's a trick. Stop complaining. You're scaring away inspiration. Every time you express a complaint about how difficult and tiresome it is to be creative, inspiration takes another step away from you. See, friends, when we complain, it really is about judgment and it's about fear. It's another aspect of fear. And in the first week she talked about fear's always going to be there. It's a part of the monkey mind. It's a part of who we are. It serves us in some circumstances and it limits us in others. But the thing is to recognize that the fear goes with us, but we go beyond the fear. So we recognize the complaints. We recognize them for what they are. We recognize them for the voices that say, well, no, you're not good enough. You can't do that. And we go, yes, I can. Set that intention. Pamela Volstar says, reach high for stars lie hidden in your soul. Dream deep, for every dream precedes the goal. And Lorena Case says, the blueprint for success is inside you. It will stay there unless you take it out and create it. Unless you take it out and create it. Friends, this process of game-changing results lies when we realize that it's more than just opening ourselves to that divine imagination and the divine ideas that are resident and inherent within us. It is about activating that fifth principle that we talk about in unity, and that means taking action upon the ideas. Charles Fillmore and Cora Fillmore in Teach Us to Pray say, when an idea is fully formulated in our mind, and we decide to carry it out, our thoughts change their character from contemplative to executive. We no longer plan, but proceed to execute what we have already planned. So God mind sends forth its spirit to carry out in man the divine idea. And Catherine Pulsifer says, the dreams I only thought about, the ones I took no action on, well, they are still dreams. But the ones that I took action on, they are now a reality. And Anthony Robbins says, you see, in life, lots of people know what to do, but few people actually do what they know. Knowing is not enough. You must take action. You must take action, friends. Achieving game-changing results in our lives, there's no mystery to it. And it's no big deal. We always say, whoa, that sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? How many of you thought, ooh, they're going to give me a list. Okay, game-changing stuff I can do. That's how our mind works. Because it wants an outward answer. It wants someone to show us how. But see, friends, game-changing results come from within us. They come from the intent and the willingness to dream big and to set aside the judgments and the things that would stop us from executing whatever plan, big or small. In scripture in Matthew 5:15 through 16, it says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Friends, when we are willing to step beyond the places in us that feel the fear, that feel the inadequacies, that feel all the old voices, and we say, so what? And we do it anyway. When we activate that, those divine ideas, those impulses within us, and begin taking a step forward, that is how things become manifest in our world. And it isn't always an easy thing, because a lot of times along the way, we get frustrated. Have you ever started a project and then, how many of you have done any of the coloring recently that's been a big thing? And then the minute you went outside the line, oop, okay, not that one, toss it. Yeah. Well, and the same thing in life, it's like, we start to get frustrated and then we stop. And Elizabeth Gilbert says in her book, learning how to endure your disappointment and frustration is part of the job of a creative person. If you want to be an artist of any sort, then handling your frustration is a fundamental aspect of your work. Frustration is not an interruption of your process. Frustration is the process. It's the inspiration. It's that which continues to say, keep going. How you manage yourself between those bright moments when things aren't going so great is a measure of how devoted you are. So what it calls us to do is to move back to the original impulse, the original intent. Because having had that divine impulse, when we hit the frustrations, when we hit the challenges, the things that stop us, when we go back to that, it re-inspires us and invites us to keep going forward. It stops the judgments and the criticalness and allows us to manifest game-changing results. One of the things that's helped me greatly in this process, it's a little tool. My dear beloved David and his lifelong friend wrote a book, which they were just finishing when David passed away. And it was called The Secret of the 13th Month. And what they were taking a look at is how much of our lives, how much time do we lose? It wasn't just another time management book. It was about recognizing the things that stop us and the amount of time that we lose because we have this idea to start a project or to do something, we have to start the whole thing or not at all. And we feel overwhelmed. I've got like 10 projects at home that just are overwhelming to me. And yet, what they developed and what they started calling it a 5-minute go. A 5-minute go. And they said, you know, we're sitting there and maybe we've got 10 minutes while we're waiting for a lube change on the car, or we're standing in line at the grocery store, or we're at home and we've got 5 minutes before people are coming over, or whatever it is. Take that 5 minutes and use it. You don't have to finish a project. If you start it, you break one of the hardest barriers of procrastination. So friends, in laying hold of divine ideas and in beginning to implement and take action and step forward, it doesn't have to be a whole day or a week or whatever at a time. It can be simply 5 minutes. And all those 5 minutes that otherwise you would have gone, oh well, and maybe just sat there, you can utilize those 5 minutes to write down a few notes, or to begin sorting through your mail, or to begin looking to make a list of what you want to do next. Friends, this process of game-changing results is no mystery. It's simply a willingness to lay hold of the divine impulses, those creative ideas that come, and then begin to step forward in action to bring them into reality. So, my core statement for today, some of you will appreciate if you were here the first Sunday I started the series. My core statement is acting upon divine inspiration, we create balloonful lives. This is a fractal art that was created by Kevin Gross, and I had shared that it reminded me of my balloons and my balloon business, and it was exciting and wonderful. And, you know, balloonful lives are amazing. They're beautiful and ballooning and uplifting and wonderful. But it does take willingness to act upon. So I invite you to engage in that, to let the inspiration of divine ideas, propel you forward. Take a 5-minute go. A 5-minute go, even if it's just to begin outlining something or to sort through your mail or to play with a cat or your dog or your children or grandchildren, those things are as valid in allowing imagination and creativity to flow as anything. So we create game-changing results when we are willing to take the steps forward beyond our fears, beyond the frustrations, beyond the things, the old voices that say, you can't do it. And we listen to the heart of our being, that divine impulse that says, yes, I can. Yes, I can. So I will close with a quote from Julia White. She says, every day is an opportunity to be creative. The canvas is your mind. The brushes and colors are your thoughts and feelings. The complete picture is a work of art called My Life. Friends, let's live our lives out of divine inspiration, taking steps forward, one step at a time, grateful for becoming all who we were designed to be.